नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। So we are reading today from Canto 9, Chapter 4, Verse 65. Ye Dharagara Putrapta Prananvitam Imam Param Hitva Mam Sharanam Yata Katham Tam Stak. Translation and purport. As Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, Bhakti Vedanta Prabhupada. Since pure devotees give up their homes, wives, children, relatives, riches, and even their lives simply to serve me, without any desire for material improvement in this life or in the next, how can I give up such devotees at any time? Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by the words Brahmanya Devaya, Gro Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. Thus, he is the well-wisher of the Brahmanas. Durvasa Muni was certainly a very great Brahmana, but because he was a non-devotee, he could not sacrifice everything in devotional service. Great mystic yogis are actually self-interested. The proof is that when Durvasa Muni created a demon to kill Maharaj Amrish, the king stayed fixed in his place, praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and depending solely and wholly on him. Whereas Durvasa Muni was chased by the Sudarshan Chakra, by the supreme will of the Lord. He was so perturbed that he fled all over the world and tried to take shelter in every nook and corner of the universe. At last, in fear of his life, he approached Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and ultimately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was so interested in his body that he wanted to kill the body of a Vaishnava. Therefore, he did not have very good intelligence. And how can an unintelligent person be delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Thus, the Lord certainly tries to give all protection to his devotees who have given up everything for the sake of serving him. Another point in this verse is that attachment to Dharagara Putrapta, home, wife, children, friendship, society, and love, is not the way to achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One who is attached to hearth and home for material pleasure cannot become pure devotee. Sometimes a pure devotee may have habit or attraction for wife, children, and home, but at the same time want to serve the Supreme Lord to the best of his ability. For such a devotee, the Lord makes a special arrangement to take away the objects of his false attachment and thus free him from his attachment to wife, home, children, friends, and so on. This special mercy bestowed upon the devotee to bring him back home, back to Godhead. In the early 80s, during my student life, I was in this city called Akola, which is in central India, near Nagpur. And one of the most belligerent political leaders had come there to address a rally, and he claims himself to be completely non-secular and very divisive in his speech and approach. So he immediately, before starting his speech, he said, people of such and such community, please leave this pandal because you are not going to appreciate what I am going to speak. So, similarly, I thought of warning all those with Dara Gara Putrapta that you're not going to like it. This is a very challenging verse, very challenging statements. So you may leave. And then all that we'll have is, while dancing, I could see during Prabhupada Guru Puja that there was so much energy, and I realized all the VTA boys were around. And I could see that, you know, how they are actually living examples of this verse. I was given a choice between this verse and another one. The other verse was rather sedate. It was the end of this chapter. And then I thought, do I want to take up the challenge of giving class on this verse? Actually, it was a great mental challenge for myself for all these days while I was preparing for this class. So what I'm going to be sharing in the next few minutes will be how I have been thinking all through these 2 weeks, how His Grace Baldev Prabhu has put me into, you know, immense anxiety by giving this verse. And Prabhupada's purport is, as usual, as always, so amazing. In fact, you could divide every line and then, you know, give a small class on each of those lines. So I will revolve around the purport, and we'll try to break up the purport and see and try to meditate further. We've all heard this verse, Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. So up until I had meditated on this verse, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha was very clear to me. Meaning, at least I knew, you know, what it was. But Brahmanya Devaya, the first portion, I had never meditated on this. And here Prabhupada states in his purport, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by the words Brahmanya Devaya, Go Brahmanya Hitaya Cha. So this is worship. And then I went to Canto 5 just out of some more research on worship and found that there are actually 8 ways to worship the Lord in this by means of address. There are 8 ways, and this Brahmanya Devaya is one of the 8 ways. Some of the others are Upashikshitam, meaning unto you, O Lord, whose senses are under control. That is one of the ways of worship of the Lord, one of the 8 ways. The other is Upasita Lokaya, O Lord, you are the person who is worshipped by all classes of men. There is Sadhuvada Nikashanaya. This one is very interesting. Here the Lord is worshipped by saying that, O Lord, you are the stone by which we can examine the sadhu's qualities. How many of you have purchased gold? And have you seen the goldsmith has a stone on which he rubs the gold? And then you can find out a fine layer of gold, very, very fine micron thin layer of gold is around there on that stone. So the Lord is beautifully addressed here that you are the testing stone for the qualities of a sadhu. And one such, one of these eight is Brahmanya Devaya. Oh Lord, you are Brahmanya Devaya. Truly, we can see the Lord is always very, very kind to the Brahmanas. Lord Ram, just before he was leaving to the forest, he gave immense amount of wealth in charity. He gave nearly 2,000 bullock carts of rice and wheat. He gave cows by the thousands. So there was one Brahman who was extremely poor. His name was Trijakta. So his good wife told him that you should also go and ask in charity from Lord Ram. And he went to Lord Ram and he said, "Oh Lord, I have not received anything in charity." And Lord Ram bowed his head in extreme humility and said, "Oh Brahmana, take this staff, take this danda and throw it with all your might as far as you can." And to that distance, I will fill that area with cows, with all wealth. So the Brahman was very happy. With all his might, he took up the staff and threw it with such great force that it landed across the Saryu River. And lo and behold, he saw flocks of cows all across the space that the staff had traveled. And then he thanked Lord Ram. But in turn, Lord Ram told him that, "Oh great Brahmana, all my wealth is yours. And only if it is yours is it glorified." On another occasion, Lord Ram was called by the Sarbhanga rishis of the Dandikaranya forest to protect them against demons. And Mother Sita, she was pleading with Lord Ram, saying, "Please don't fight these demons. They are extremely dangerous." And Lord Ram told her that it is just not possible for me not to fight these demons. It is possible that I leave you, Mother Sita. It is also possible that I leave Lakshman. But it is just not possible for me to go back on my Kshatriya dharma. And then he said another thing to Mother Sita, that I am actually ashamed that the situation had to come to this stage where the Brahmanas had to come and request me. I should have gone there much earlier. So this way the Lord is Brahmanya Devaya. He's worshipable by these words, Brahmanya Devaya. Then Prabhupada goes on to say in his purport, "Thus he is the well-wisher of the Brahmanas." Durvasa Muni was certainly a great Brahmana, but because he was a non-devotee, he could not sacrifice everything in devotional service. Great mystic yogis are actually self-interested. This is what Prabhupada says. So present day, there are many critics of ISKCON and anything to do with spirituality. In fact, they're all with very high qualifications, with a lot of fame, a lot of money. many times they spew venom with half knowledge. They could even compare a devotee to be like a terrorist or a devotee organization or an organization that does well to be one that is like a terrorist. So these people are not willing to accept the Lord and his principles. And at the drop of a hat, they are willing to criticize those who are treading on this path of spiritual realization. So unless they are able to use their wealth and their intelligence and their good looks and their fame in Krishna's service, otherwise they will face ultimate destruction. And Durvasa Muni, out here, Prabhupada says that he's a great mystic yogi. But all these great mystic yogis are only self-interested. And in this whole affair with Amrish Maharaj and this whole incident, we can see that he came very close to destruction. He was a great mystic yogi, but he came very, very close to destruction. Of course, we will, at a future point in my class, we will dwell a little bit more upon Durvasa Muni and find out as to what our own thinking should be of him and set it right as well. So the proof that he was actually interested that Durvasa Muni created a demon to kill Maharaj Amrish. So to save himself, simply from a small, very, very small aberration, so-called aberration that that Amrish Maharaj did by having the sip of water and so-called offense that Durvasa Muni took, he created a demon. But we can see how Amrish Maharaj was. And Prabhupada says that the king stayed fixed in his place, praying to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and depending solely and wholly on him. So we can see that Maharaj Amrish, in this very disturbing event and disturbing period, he knew that he had not committed an offense. He went by the guidance of the Brahmanas in his court. And he knew that he was not offensive. He did not mean any offense. And he continued to be fixed in praying to the Supreme Personality. It's a very tough situation. Many of us undergo this tough situation. And there's a very beautiful verse in Canto 1, Chapter 18, and verse number 48. It says, Tirasakta vipralabdha shapta kshipta hata api nasyatat prati kurvanti tad bhakta prabhavo pihi. So we'll go by the word to word and try to analyze how this verse is applicable at this point and why we need to meditate. Tirasakta means being defamed. So there are these are five types of miseries that can come upon you and make your condition very, very miserable. But this verse very beautifully states further that the devotee is not interested in avenging himself. He does not want to take revenge on someone just because you were you behaved in a certain manner and I need to reciprocate in that similar and opposite manner to you. So one of the miseries, these five miseries which we'll list out, which were listed in this verse, is tirasakta, being defamed. And we can see that Lord Shiva in a great assembly where Daksha was performing his yagya was actually defamed. You know, he was looked down upon in that great assembly by Daksha. But Lord Shiva maintained his composure all through. Just like Maharaj Amrish is doing out here. And then there is Vipralabdha, being cheated. There is every possibility that we are put into a miserable situation by being cheated. In the early 90s, I had invested some money with a builder, and the real estate that I purchased, the builder sold it a second time and a third time to three people. Now, during those days, I was, you know, I always used to tell my mother, you know, should I call some goons and, you know, stand in his office and get my money back? And my mother, in her very wise guidance, used to say, no, no such thing, no such thing. And she used to calm me down. And I remember this incident very clearly. Similarly, many of us get cheated. Cheated by gurus, cheated by, you know, cheated by financial firms. In South India, there is a lot of chit funds that go on. And these funds, they promise very phenomenal returns. Very phenomenal returns. In fact, I was a victim of one of them. So I know what kind of returns they promise, and they never come. And I learned a lesson, of course, for a very small price. That if you're getting so much for just so much of effort, beware, put your antennas up. There is something fishy out there. So therefore, we are always asked, you know, we have to really strive in even in devotional life. There is no formula that many times I personally go and seek, you know, is this person who is speaking going to give me this one point, this one formula today by which I do so much and I can advance so much? It doesn't look like that. It's rarely possible. So we were talking about Vipralabdha, being cheated. One of the greatest examples are the Pandavas. They accepted, they agreed, despite being cheated at every point. The game of dice. And then going for 13 years into the forests. And despite that, they were not going to get, you know, as much as can be on a point of a needle, you know, on the point head of a needle. That much land also they were not going to get. And one of the greatest Pandavas, Arjun, at the peak of everything, that is during, you know, just in the middle of the battlefield, he said, I prefer to be a beggar than avenge all of this. Of course, what went on was under the complete orders of Lord Krishna and under his complete guidance thereafter. But what is worth picking off from here is that he was not willing to, you know, take revenge on, you know, I'd love to take revenge. You know, yeah. No, he said, I'd prefer to be a beggar. I'd prefer to be a mendicant. Then there is Shapita. So many times we get cursed. Of course, nowadays the cursing is very, very mundane and very low. But there were days when, you know, you could say something and that person would have to suffer that. But we can see Narad Muni, you know, he was cursed by Daksha. And he very beautifully takes that curse as a boon. Then there is another type of misery called Kshipita. Kshipita means to be neglected. So one of the top prime examples is Vidur. Mahatma Vidur, he was always neglected in this huge assembly. Everyone knew that he was a wise man and he would give his opinion, but it was systematically and purposefully neglected. So much so that Duryodhan actually moved him out at the drop of a hat. He said, "You go away. You are the son of a lowly mistress." He was neglected so much. Now the Shipita in this current day and age is a very, very fearful misery for many, many people. I don't want to be neglected. I don't want to be neglected. So not to be neglected, there are people who will do so many things. In fact, the word Durvasa means very scantily clad. Of course, Durvasa is also a very, very angry, he's a very angry person by nature. This angriness and, of course, he got in his genetics, he got it in his DNA. Because once Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma had a very, very major quarrel. Very major quarrel. And Lord Shiva was extremely violent. He was extremely violent. So much so that Mother Parvati had to tell him that Durvasam Bhavati Me. He said, "It has become impossible for me to stay with you because of your violence." Of course, she didn't have to go to a family court like in this day and age. And Lord Shiva was his very good husband. And that's the way all husbands should be. He said, "Oh, this has disturbed you so much." So he took out that angry portion of his and dumped it into Anusurya. She was the wife of Atri Rishi. And the child that was born was Durvasa, who had this anger potency coming from there. And Durvasa means, of course, as I said, scantily clad. And we were on the misery that afflicts all of us, kshipita, negligence. So a lot of people use Durvasa as their presiding deity to avoid this negligence. Either be the angry young man or Durvasa, scantily dressed. And kshipita can be avoided. Negligence can, you know, no one will neglect you. The next is hata. Hata means being killed or being harmed, just like Amrish Maharaj knew that the demon that Durvasa had got out of his hair had the power. It had all of Durvasa's power. It could have killed Amrish Maharaj there, but he was composed even while there was an attempt to kill him, while there was an attempt to harm him. We all know one of the great personalities, Parikshit Maharaj. He was cursed. And he took that in such a positive manner. He spent those 7 days in such a manner that all of us included can spend 7 million years meditating on those 7 days. Or more probably, billion years. He spent those 7 days in such a beautiful manner. Despite the fact that he was on the verge, he knew that this was an attempt to harm him. This was an attempt to kill him. And we can see that just as Amrish Maharaj was so fixed and he was wholly and solely dependent upon the Lord, in this purport and in this place out here, we can see that Durvasa Muni was absolutely diagonally opposite. His actions were completely opposite to that of Amrish Maharaj. And we can, there are 5 points that Prabhupada mentions in this purport that Durvasa, he firstly wanted to kill, he wanted to harm Amrish Maharaj. Prabhupada says, Durvasa Muni was chased by the Sudarshan Chakra, by the supreme will of the Lord. And point number one, Prabhupada says, he was perturbed. So a person may be a great mystic yogi, but such person, if they are interested in their body, they will definitely be perturbed. This is one of the symptoms, as we can see. And then Prabhupada says that he fled all over the world and tried to take shelter in every nook and corner of the universe. So a person who's perturbed, whose thinking is not single-tracked, he is not purposeful, he will always try to take shelter here, there, in this philosophy, in that guru, in this method, in that method, in Hatha yoga, in this yoga, without any focus. He will think that I will get shelter here, I may get shelter here, I may get enjoyment here, I may get this thing here, let me take shelter of this person. This is the way Durvasa Muni was behaving out here. And while Amrish Maharaj, this is the fourth difference, while Amrish Maharaj, he was not fearing for his life. Durvasa, Prabhupada writes, at last, in fear of his life, he was fearing for his life. Now, Amrish Maharaj, as we can see, wholly and solely dependent on the Lord, but exactly opposite to him was Durvasa Muni. Prabhupada says, he approached Lord Brahma, he approached Lord Shiva, and ultimately and finally, that means only at the last, final moment, do we try to even think about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So similarly, Durvasa Muni out here, only at the last, as a last, method, he said, okay, now I will go and approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was so interested in his own body that he wanted to kill the body of a Vaishnava, Prabhupada says. And then Prabhupada says that therefore he did not have very good intelligence. And how can an unintelligent person be delivered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Prabhupada makes it very clear, he, in the form of a question, that it's just not possible. So intelligence means for us that whatever stage or whatever class we are in or whatever point we are in life, we need to go to another stage, we need to progress in our spiritual on the spiritual path, in our spiritual practices. But wherever we are, whether we are at the lowest stage of being a very sinful person, or we need to go to the stage of the Goswamis, or we need to be there in terms of our spiritual practices, we can never become Goswamis, at least me, no. But at least we can try to attempt and see what the standards are of the Goswamis in terms of their spiritual practices. So this is the gap that we need to cover, right from the area of giving up our sinful activities and go to the zone of the spiritual practices of the Goswamis and the great elevated devotees. In between, there is this space and there are these various levels. And what would intelligence mean for us? This whole chapter or this incident that has happened, to me, it came forth as a very big issue of Niyamagraha, where one person wanted to drive home the point that, these rules must be followed to the dot. It doesn't matter what your situation is. Sorry. It doesn't matter what your situation is. It doesn't matter that you are the king and you fasted for so many days and that you need to break your fast at this particular point in time. And there is a way and method to break the fast without breaking the rule. But Durvasa Muni applied Niyamagraha out here. Excessive application of rules, fanatical application of rules. You know, not to be normal, to be very, very fanatical. So intelligence for us would mean since I'm trying to speak of intelligence, the Lord wants me to shut up and makes me cough. So intelligence for us would mean that whatever stage we are in whether we are in the stage of giving up our sinful activities by following the vidhis, the rules and the nishedas, that is the prohibitions, whatever stage we are in, we need to follow the vidhis and the nishedas according to our situation. If we are at the lowest rung trying to give up, somehow try to give up all our sinful activities, somehow try to give up our various attachments that come in the way of our spiritual practices, then we apply the niyamas, the vidhis and the nishedas accordingly. We don't try to imitate artificially the vidhis and the prohibitions and the austerities that very, very advanced practitioners could do. At this stage, personally for me, it is unthinkable that I do 64 rounds in a day. What 64 rounds? 16 is a challenge. So simply I can't put upon myself the vidhi that no, from tomorrow to advance in my spiritual practices, I'll do 64 rounds. It is not possible. It would be foolhardy. It would be unintelligent of me to do this. And certainly, if I try to attempt such a thing, I would create more disturbance by doing such an act. So it is important that we remain steady in whatever position we are. In fact, Krishna mentions to Uddhava somewhere in the 11th canto that to be steady, steadiness is actual piety. To be steady at the level that you are. Of course, we aspire for the next higher level, but we don't try to, we know what the standards are. We know the gold standards as well, but we simply don't try to jump the rungs and go across to the top of the ladder. We'll fall down. So steadiness is extremely important, and therefore we can leave our sinful activities and then go on to karma kanda, and beyond that go to varnashrama. Beyond varnashrama, try to you know, gain knowledge about the Lord, and beyond knowledge then we'll start somewhere the quest for devotional life. We'll get some taste, and then there is another journey beyond that to reach Krishna Prema. So we need to find out heart of heart which rung am I in, which floor am I at, and then accordingly follow the rules and regulations given by Prabhupada, given by our previous acharyas. Luckily for us, Prabhupada has, you know, given us very, very simple rules and regulations, four regulative principles. Of course, the rules and regulations are simple, but not, you know, they are equally tough to follow in this day and age. 16 rounds, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. In the purport, Prabhupada goes on to say, the Lord certainly tries to give all protection to his devotees who have given up everything for the sake of serving him. Once Narad ji visited Lord Narayan, and the Lord asked him, "O Narad, what news have you got? What great things have you seen in this universe? And why don't you give me a report of what have you seen?" So Narad was wondering, what is this loaded question like? So he said, "O Lord, what greater thing can I see other than you?" So the Lord said, "No, you've just been there. And haven't you seen the Pancha Mahabhutas? That is the five elements." So he said, "Yes." So the Lord says, "Who is greatest of the Pancha Mahabhutas?" So Naraji was not in any mood to give much replies. The Lord did all the question and the replies, because the Lord was trying to guide Narad into to a certain point. And he said, "Mother Earth is the greatest of the Pancha Mahabhutas, in terms of sheer size." So Narad said, "Yes, she is the greatest of the Pancha Mahabhutas." And the Lord said, "But of Mother Earth, 3/4 is occupied by water. So water is greater than Earth." So Narad simply nodded in agreement. And the Lord said, "So is water the greatest?" So Narad didn't know. And then the Lord said, "But Agastya Muni in one sip, in one gulp, took in the entire water. So Agastya Muni is greater than the Pancha Mahabhutas." So Narad said, "So be it." But the Lord said, "Do you know, Agastya Muni is simply a star in this universal creation. In this firmament, he is just a star." So Narad said, "Yes, he is just a star. So the firmament is bigger than Agastya Muni? Is bigger than the star?" So Narad said, "Yes." He was thoroughly confused as to where this is going to lead. And simply nodded all through. And he said, "This firmament, in my avatar as Vaman, I pierced with my toe. So what is bigger, the firmament or my foot?" So Narad said, "Yes, definitely, your foot." Now he knew that he was getting somewhere, on the right track. So the Lord said, "If this foot is so great, and if it is a part of my body, then how great I am?" So Narad said, "This sounds very good. Yes, my Lord, that is what I was saying. You are the greatest." And then the Lord says, "But Narada, I reside in the heart of my devotees. So who is greater?" He realized what the Lord was trying to point at. That the Lord says that I am in total control of my devotees. Those who give up everything, as Prabhupada says, that those who give up everything, the Lord considers himself, what himself, he considers the Pancha Mahabhutas, he considers Agastya Muni, he considers all of these things, his own feet, everything smaller than the heart of his devotees, than the place where devotees are chanting and devotees are serving the Lord and chanting his glories by loudly saying, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare." So the Lord is residing here. How very beautifully the Lord has told Narada as to what I can do for those who give up everything. And now comes the last part of this purport, the last huge paragraph, which says, another point in this verse is that attachment to Daragraha, Putrapta, that is home, wife, children, is not the way to achieve the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who have wife, children, home, friends, society and love, please make note. This is the tough portion that we were talking of. It's tough for me, because I have all of this. And Prabhupada says, one who is attached to hearth and home, beautiful word he has used, hearth and home. Hearth is place of cooking. Okay, in the olden days, they would have a place made of bricks, and that they would call as hearth, and there would be a furnace out there, etc. So those who are attached to the home cooking and, you know, to their house for material pleasures cannot become devotee. So the whole 2 weeks since I was given notice to talk on this verse, I was very, very disturbed. I was perturbed, like Durvasa Muni was, you know, that what is this? What's the solution? In fact, once while speaking to Shyamananda Prabhu, I went and met him at the Bhaktivedanta Hospital, and somehow this same verse came up, not same verse, but this issue where Prabhupada mentioned in this verse, in the purport as well, that the Lord makes special arrangement to take away the objects of his false arrangements and thus free him from attachment to wife, home, children, wealth, etc. This is special mercy, Prabhupada says. So I told Shyamananda Prabhu, I hate this special mercy of the Lord. I am not ready for this. And my place of residence, I have my personal deities, Lord Radha Madhav. And I told Shyamananda Prabhu that whenever I'm in front of the deities and somehow this verse comes to me, I tell him, oh Radha Madhav, don't do this to me, I am not ready. So Shyamananda Prabhu corrected me. He first praised me. He said that there are two issues to this, Yudhishthira Das. One is that I am happy to know that you are at least addressing the Lord and treating him as a person. And you're telling him that, listen, this is my situation, I'm not ready. Don't do this special mercy upon me as yet. Okay. He said, but the bigger problem is that somehow in your non-intelligent brain, you are thinking that the Lord doesn't know exactly at what situation you are in. He knows that you are in preparatory standard. He knows that you are, you know, he knows that you are a toddler in this path of practicing Krishna consciousness. So that is your wrong thinking, that you don't even know that what is, you know, what is the intelligence of the Lord. What is, you know, it's beyond our fathom. It's beyond you to fathom that, you know, what is the intelligence of the Lord. He jolly well knows that you are in toddler or in standard one or in preparatory class. He's not going to give you the PhD exam. He's not going to give you the special mercy as yet. So he corrected my perspective. Many times all that we have to do is to blame the Lord and to ask him. A couple of weeks ago, I received a letter from one of my relations. You know, we are from Rajasthan, we are Marwadis. So, you know, I'll first give you the Marwadi version of it because it will sound as it should. He says, you know, it was a letter informing the demise of a relation. Okay, so these letters are usually written in black, and they are torn from one edge to, you know, signify that something wrong has happened. So this person writes, and it's very amazing, nice stuff. He says, I'll put it in Hindi. Hamare bhagya hi khote, hamare bhagya hi bure the, jo Bhagwan ne humse khoti ki ni aur mere bhai ko le gaye. So he says that, you know, such hard luck, you know, the Lord did such, you know, nastiness with us that he took away my brother. So we can see that, you know, it's so easy. Blame the Lord. You know, you have a punching bag. Blame the Lord. You know, Every time go and ask him something or blame him. Two things. No, very easy. Oh Lord, do this. Oh Lord, I petition you with this. Oh Lord, you could have done this. You could have done this. Why? Why are you doing? You know. So non-believers, you know, atheists, they that's the way they are. They will be. So there was this atheist who was fishing all day. And all of a sudden, there was a three-headed monster that came and picked up his boat. And this monster had him in his jaws. And at this point, this atheist screams out. He says, "Oh Lord, please save me." And the monster froze out there. And a voice boomed from above saying, "I thought you didn't believe in God. How come now?" He says, "Oh Lord, when did I believe in three-headed monsters also?" So when a three-headed monster strikes us, that's when, you know, yes, Lord, you exist. So such is the way of the atheists. And just yesterday it happened, and you know, it has been happening for the last 4 or 5 years, ever since I have given the mobile phone to my daughter. And just after she passed her 10th standard, I gave her a mobile phone. Now the bill, everything I pay. But when it comes to giving a call to me, it's a missed call. It's a missed call. And I always try to explain to a bacha, everything is going from the same pocket only. Whether you give me a missed call or whether I call you back. No, it's always a missed call. I shouldn't spend. My bill should not be more. And then one day I was speaking to my wife and my mother about this. And I realized that actually it is my tendency also. It's not her fault. It is in her genetics. It's in her DNA. I keep giving missed calls to the Lord. Whenever I need something, I give him a missed call. And say, "Oh Lord, please do this for me now." Okay? Actually, not knowing that any which way, he is doing everything for me. And for all of us. But still, missed call to the Lord. Such, you know, amazing tendencies we acquire over a period of time. That we are unable to even fathom the glories of the Lord. So, out here, Prabhupada says that if you don't leave the attachments to your family and to your house, to your wealth, you will not be able to advance in spiritual life. And it is true that we will not be able to advance in spiritual life. Durvasa Muni out here has been portrayed in this particular verse, in this particular incident in Bhagavatam, as a person who is very angry, and because of this one particular incident, Durvasa Muni has acquired infamy for years and years and ages to come. Just this one incident. Actually, Durvasa Muni has a very, very special position. You know, how many of us can claim that if I was to come and insult a devotee out here, you know, can be personally saved by the Lord, you know, or personally guided by the Lord, that you go and ask, you know, for you go and beg forgiveness, and then this Sudarshan Chakra will. So Durvasa Muni definitely has a very special position. We must not try to mistake. So much so that during in Vrindavan, the gopis used to cross the Yamuna River. The Yamuna River and beg blessings from him. Radharani personally used to go. If they would have to cross the Yamuna river, it is known that they would tell the Yamuna to part, to make way. But she would not make way so easily. And then they would say, upon the strength of Krishna being a brahmachari, please part ways. And Yamuna would part ways and make way for the gopis to go to the other bank of the river where Durvasa would be meditating. He would feed on only Durva grass. And Radharani would ask him, what is this? You feed only on this grass. And then he would go on to glorify Krishna. And so much so that Durvasa Muni blessed, we all know this, that Durvasa Muni is the one who blessed Radharani, that whatever you cook will be nectar. And for returning, upon return, Yashoda Mai made special request that now you should cook for Krishna, because whatever cooking you are going to do is going to be nectar. So Durvasa has very, very special position. But unfortunately, you know, he's many a times, he's somehow been directed to use his powers for testing. You know, like he tested Draupadi, you know, when he went to the forest. There's another point when Durvasa even went and tested the Lord in Dwarka. Yeah, there is this Leela where Durvasa went to Dwarka and as soon as he entered there, he saw that Krishna is ideal grihastha. I actually need to test this out. So he went in and he started making demands. I want this and I want that. And Krishna was trying to fulfill everything. Krishna need not try. Actually, he just fulfills everything. And then Durvasa wanted to further test him. So he would accidentally, on purpose, break a vase, or he would break some good decoration piece. Oh, such a nice sofa. Rip. Oh, sorry, I just tore this. And Krishna and Rukmani would, you know, be still very cool, calm and composed. You know. Wonder if any one of you came into my house and ripped apart the sofa, which one of us would be composed? But Krishna was composed, very composed. And then he made demands, I want to eat this and I want to, it to be cooked in a particular manner and there should be so many dishes. And after having, he left half of them and, you know, and then he ordered, he said, I want pudding. Something like some sweet pudding. So he ordered for the sweet pudding. And he said, no, but now I am full. Durvasa seems to get full many times, you know, in his leelas. So he says, now I am full. So Krishna, what you do is you smear this pudding on your face and your body. So Krishna complied. And then he said, Krishna, what you do is the leftover pudding, you smear on the face of Rukmini. How many of us can dare to smear? Okay, I'll cut it. And Krishna complied. Krishna complied. And then Durvasa said, this was not all, huh? There's still to come. Krishna complied and he said, he told Krishna, I want a chariot. So Krishna immediately brought forth a chariot and he told Krishna, I am taking away Rukmini. So Rukmini climbed onto the chariot. And then Durvasa rode ahead and Krishna followed him in the chariot. And Durvasa looked back at him. And he told Krishna, why are you following me? So Krishna says, Durvasa Muni, I am following you in case you need anything more. Shri Shri Radha Gopinath Bhagavan Ki Jai. I will also attempt to bring my class to an end shortly. He says, in case you need anything else, I have come to serve you. And at that point, Durvasa Muni got down from the chariot. He bowed down and he said, "My obeisance is unto you, Krishna. You are the ideal grihastha." And he told Rukmini, "I bless you." He first paid obeisances to her. And he said, "I bless you that you will be the presiding queen of Krishna. Always, always you will be known as the most prominent queen of Krishna." And he blessed them. Now, point is that Durvasa Muni's position is such that he even blessed Krishna. He even tested Krishna. So what to talk of Ambarish Maharaj out here? My guess is, you know, this was a programmed affair to bring to light the glories of a devotee like Ambarish Maharaj. The Lord actually wanted to glorify Ambarish Maharaj, and Durvasa Muni was used as a tool in glorifying Ambarish Maharaj. So point is that whatever stage of ashram we are in, attached, non-attached, we need to follow the rules and regulations. Simply follow the rules and regulations as per your current stage of realization, current stage of, you know, bodily fitness, current stage of wealth, current stage of health, current stage of intelligence. Slowly and surely it will all progress in this path of spiritual practice, but not artificially. So if we keep reading these purports, it should not be that all of a sudden we say that, you know, yes, Prabhupada has said, you know, those who can't give up attachment to wife, home, cannot progress, so tomorrow onwards, all given up. I tried that once. No, not family. I tried that once. Not wife, of course, but family I wanted to give up. Long ago. Student days. The first time I heard a Krishna conscious lecture, student days, and the person ahead was so convincing. The first question I asked my mother when I came back was, how do I know you are my parents? They just preached to me like this. So she was shocked. You know, what is, he's been brainwashed. And then I said, I'm going to the temple. I stay very close to the Juhu temple. So I said, I'm going to the Juhu temple. So again, she was shocked. You know, she said, I'm giving up everything. All of you parents, etc. I'm giving up. I'm going to the Juhu temple. She said, for what? I want to attend Mangal Aarti tomorrow morning. So, she was very upset. She went and spoke to my father. My father said, no, let him go. But she would not. So she said, okay, on one condition. You do one thing. You wake up early tomorrow morning and then you go to Mangal Aarti. But don't go and stay there. Now that whole night I couldn't sleep because, you know, I was having a mental fight with her. And I couldn't wake up for Mangal Aarti. And I got into Grihastha Ashram. So, point is, don't try to jump from this ladder to straight the brahmachari rung of things. In fact, very nice the setup in our temple that they have done. You know, we have the VTA and the base, and, you know, slowly progressing to this beautiful saffron stage of which we are all very proud of. At least all the grihasthas are very proud of you, all of those in saffron. So we need to go slowly and surely and have faith that the Lord will do everything. There was this person, a devotee, who went to a barber's shop, and the barber was saying, you know, how much wrong is going on in this world? There is so many mishaps taking place. I don't think there is God. You know, God doesn't exist. So the devotee kept shut at that point in time. And as soon as he had cut his hair, he walked out of the barber's shop. And he saw a man with very, very long hair and a beard. And he started screaming, there is no barber, there is no barber, there is no barber in this world. So the Baba was very, you know, he was annoyed, and he came out and he said, "But I am here." So the devotee told him, "How come you are here? If you are here, then this man should not be roaming around with long hair and beard." So the Baba replied and then came to the point of realization. He said, "What can I do if this person does not want to come to me?" So similarly, you know, what will the Lord do if we don't want to go to Him? But not by Niyamagra, not by artificially imitating. I will end with a small personal episode where I was caught imitating. Very small imitation I tried. I went to the Bata storeroom and wanted to purchase some footwear. Preferably simple ones to go with my temple, to coming to the temple with my dhoti kurta. And my wife was also along with me. So she knows it, you know, she knows that I prefer to have mine. You know, long before in Vrindavan, there was once, you know, I tried to wear my dhoti and kurta by simply drying them and not ironing them. And I was so uncomfortable. And I tried to wear my dhoti slightly higher, like the VTA boys do, you know. And my wife immediately pointed out, she said, "Don't try to be like Brahmachari, you know." So similarly, when I was in this Bata showroom, I looked at a pair of slippers, and you know, they were about 1200 rupees, and I liked them. I really liked them. As I prefer it, you know, that my clothes are ironed. I prefer it. I prefer a nice pen. I prefer a nice tie, you know, whether attached or not. You know, 100% I know that I'm attached to all this. So I prefer that, and she knows it, that I like it. Now all of a sudden, my eyes, you know, some bout of austerity must have come about at that, in that flash of a moment, and my eyes went on to those Hawaii slippers, the one with the white base and the blue straps. So I told my wife, "This is it. This is what I should be wearing. And buy me this." And very pointedly, she told me, "Don't try to be like Krishna Chandra Prabhu." You know, if, for those of you who know him, you know, he wears those Bata slippers, you know, those slippers. And she said, "Don't try to be like him." And I had to purchase the 1200 rupee chappal. And I had to tell myself that relax, relax. Actually, you know, maybe Krishna Chandra Prabhu, you know, he doesn't get enough pocket money. So, you know. So we cannot imitate even in this smallest of thing, like wearing slippers like a great devotee does. If we try to imitate him falsely, if we try to imitate him on pretense that, you know, now even I will be looked upon as a simple person wearing such simple slippers, you know. It is not possible. So for those of you who are in Grihastha Ashram, we have a very nice correcting authority for us, especially the men folk. You know, if you have any pretense, you will be corrected nicely and immediately. Point is that we cannot imitate these great devotees in the practices that they do, the Goswamis, the Acharyas, what Prabhupada has done, or what the Brahmacharis are doing out here, and many other Grihasthas are doing out here. We need to be situated and steady at the platform that we are in, aspiring surely and in a normal and non-fanatical manner, in a happy and in a satisfied state of mind for the next higher level. Thank you very much for bearing up with my loud thinking. Hare Krishna. I think I will end here without inviting questions. Thank you very much.